Nice. Okay. This morning, I'm joined by Dan Champagne. Kind of an interesting topic, an important topic for sure. Dan, you and I have a little history.
For sure. Thank you for
So,
having me, Dick.
yeah, thanks for being on. So, you and I and your wife climbed together several years ago, right? That was our first interaction together in Acadia.
I think, 2016 was it?
Holy cow,
I
that was
think
more
was
than 2 years
our,
ago.
yeah, it was a while back.
Yeah.
I recently did my debrief and went through and looked at all of the times I've gone out climbing and different national parks and areas. And yeah, you were number one, my
Nice.
first ever outdoor experience. So thank you
Nice.
for that.
Number one. Yes. I love those days. And then we got a chance to climb again this summer. So it had been kind of a hiatus, just the two of us.
Yeah.
Which was a really great day and for various reasons. And then you reached out recently because you've been listening to my podcast, which is
Yes, sir.
amazing. And you were kind of, there were a couple of things that you mentioned that I thought was interesting. One is that just the similarities of some of the ways I describe how I look at what I do and how you look at what you do, which to me is always interesting that, like, once I zoom out enough, everything's exactly the same. Like the concepts are all the same. We
Exactly.
have different languages, different tools, whatever. Even though it is frustrating to try to, do something that's not what you know really well, like knowing that it's all the same, but I just don't know how to manipulate these variables like I do with my own thing. And then the other thing that you
Sure.
reached out with or made comments about was after I think my career advice one is kind of some thoughts about that piece because you're a financial guy. Like, what exactly
Yes.
is your title?
Financial planner or financial advisor. My formal like certification would be certified financial planner.
Nice.
Like in climbing, financial planning and advising has its own lingo, and in depending on what context you're talking about, the same word might mean two different things. But in general, financial planning is just like the strategic decision making around money and finances. And yeah, co coaching and teaching my clients to, best utilize the resources that they have.
Yeah, which is, once again, the same thing that we do with our clients with oftentimes techniques and tools and strategies for moving forward and building progressions into objectives and goals and stuff like that. And then guiding in particular as well. Like we do a lot of visualizing how we want the future to be, right? And then therefore pre-trip planning and kind of putting the pieces in place, both big and small. So that way, when we're in the field, we have all this framework, and then we kind of just adjust as needed to the what comes our way. Because right, because life is unpredictable, we can't know whatever's going to happen, and then hopefully reach that outcome and go from there. So like a ton of similarities, but you're doing it with money. And if I think after listening to the career advice one, like money's a big deal for everybody, right?
Yeah.
It's not a big deal. It's a big deal for all of us. And I think we chatted a little bit last week about this. So you had like a little better sense of like my perspective on my end of the profession. And financing is a pretty tricky thing in the guiding profession because there's a lot of uncertainty in our profession, specifically
Right.
around financing, right? On top of all the other uncertainty that we have in our job. So when you were listening to that episode, like what were some of your thoughts that you started to kind of like drill down into and some of the questions that you were starting to formulate that was going to form the basis of this conversation?
Yeah, what really struck my interest at first was just, like I had mentioned to you, your attention to detail, trying to be a master of your craft. And then I saw those similarities where I'm like, wow, I'm like, this mindset is so similar to the way I approach things, where one tool might make sense in one situation and it might not make sense in another situation. But knowing when those nuances appear, is that is the skill, right? You build those technical skills and the situational kind of like foundation to know when a situation presents itself to utilize a certain strategy. And, you know, I'm always fascinated by what you guys do. And obviously being financially, not even taking it to successful, but just solvent enough to continue doing what you're doing. And especially talking about like a newer climber or newer guide, rather, getting into the profession, like if you can't make it work financially, then to some extent, it doesn't really matter how good you are as a guide, right? So I was just like super interested in the style and the way that you present information about climbing and guiding in the podcast. And I just thought like, wow, like I could maybe add some value here from a financial perspective, because yeah, there's a ton of unique financial risks, so to speak, in a profession like guiding. And the two that really jumped off the page to me were just simply, you know, you don't really know, or there's some probability greater than zero that at any day you will be taken away from guiding through no fault of your own, right? Or just like from something that you maybe could have controlled, but maybe not could have controlled, right? So there's some risk there. How do you deal with that? There's some risk that because of the heaviness, I guess, of guiding, right, is that you have to be technically proficient, you have to be strong, you have to be a great person and guide to bring, you know, bring people safely through the mountains, and you have to enjoy doing that. There's a lot there. Maybe one day you just come to a conclusion that guiding's not right for you. And then what, right? Then what's after that? Or even just the bumps and bruises that you get as guides, right? At the end of the day, what you're doing is difficult and physically demanding. So what if a sprained ankle takes you out of work for a few months? Like from a financial perspective, how does that affect you? And like exactly how you started this conversation, right? You approach a climbing day by making a plan. You don't kind of just say you're going to throw your stuff in your trunk and go wing it. Although I'm sure a fair amount of people do that. And a fair amount of people do that in financial world too. But from a guiding perspective, you make a plan, you know what variables to look out for that could change that plan. And you're open to letting the incoming new data dictate the decision you make next. Like you don't put the blinders on and just like, okay, I made a plan and this is what we're going to do. So I've been, over the last few days, been trying to think of all of these different ways that you can take the skill set and the tool set you already have as a guide and really just like apply it to the financial landscape. Kind of speak a language that your audience would resonate with.
Nice.
And that challenge is interesting to me as well.
Yeah. And like anything, whether we're talking about financial planning or we're talking about a day of guiding, it's completely individual, right? Like to that person or to that group or whatever the body you're working with. So like the things that we might talk about here are really generalities, you know, because
for sure. Yeah.
You have no idea the specifics of somebody's situation. And then, you know, but generalities are where we start, right? And then we kind of build the framework from there. So, all right. So
yeah.
Maybe walk us through a little financial plan. Cause, you know, to be honest, my financing has been very simple through my whole life. If I have the money, I can do it. If I don't have the money, I don't do it. You know, right. I've always been actually pretty good at saving money. If I had a goal, you know, especially if it was long term enough, and ideally if my financial future was predictable enough so you could skim off the top where you could and squirrel things away. And I've also been really financially risk adverse my whole life. So I've never been interested in going to debt, you know, or to leverage my position to get something that I don't have the capital or could readily get the capital in a short period of time of aggressively paying something down. off. Right. So I've always been very risk adverse in this line of this part of my life. And in some ways, like, I'm set up well, pretty well now, because I haven't incurred that debt, which has really been a huge thing. But, you know, I've, in my career, I have, you know, been able to start saving, you know, for retirement, but I'm literally ignorant to it. Like, I went to see my financial advisor, whoever that is, I don't even know. We put the money in a thing and it does its thing. And I get some mail every once in a while. I'm like, oh, here's your thing. And it's doing this thing. And even just the other day, I like reached out to them, like, is the thing we're doing still good? I have no idea. They're like, oh yeah, with your age and your demographic, just keep going. I'm like, all right, I'll just keep going. All don't know. And that's as far as my sophistication with my finances goes.
Okay.
For my retirement, quote unquote. So yeah. So like, walk us through it, Dan. You are the expert in this field.
Love it. All right. Yeah. So I'm going to almost like take a similar approach you have in your episodes. I've done my best in between our conversations to just like binge as many as possible. And there's been a few concepts that I'm like, oh, this is great. This is such a parallel concept. And it's really, financial planning is all about the top of the funnel, the mindset or the ideas or strategies, and then working your way down to the bottom of the funnel, the more like techniques and like very specific things. You did an episode about a position of power, like making decisions along the way to get yourself to a position of power. It's very much aligned with what financial planning does. Building good habits, something you had said in an episode, structure creates freedom. Build good financial habits in the beginning creates freedom, or, you know, freedom of choice down the road. Having a plan, being intentional, having situational awareness around your own personal situation, and being able to change that along the way, right? That's, again, a skill set that I'm sure all guides are very proficient at, which I think actually makes, I mean, climbers in general, but climbing guides specifically, you kind of already have this mindset that allows you to be very successful financially. And that could even just mean that you're solvent enough and you have savings and you have enough of emergency fund and things are smooth enough financially so that you can just continue doing guiding or whatever it is you want to do on your own terms. And like, the money side of it isn't the one, the factor that's dictating your decision making. In finances, we can manage risk, but we can't eliminate risk, right? There's definitely a common thread in climbing. And then there's like the real technical skills, right? And you said progression, and that's totally the same analogy, right? You start basic, you build a foundation, and you build off of that foundation slowly. You know, and it's like, you don't go buy your first rack of gear and go lead 510 on day one, right? That's a recipe for disaster. And in the financial world, I do see this a lot, where a friend or an acquaintance will reach out and they'll be like, oh, I just started investing for the first time, and they're like trading options on penny stocks on Robinhood. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, please stop doing that, right? It's like, what's going to happen is you're going to lose all your money and you're not even going to know why. You're going to be confused as to what happened. And I've felt that many times as a guiding client, being out there looking at what's happening and being like, I have no idea what's happening here. And if something went wrong, I would have no idea why. But now that I have a nice solid foundation under my belt, I understand and I can take those next steps, right? So in personal finance, it's very, very similar. Those mindsets do apply. And I'm going to try to kind of walk through a thought experiment or exercise that anyone could do in their own situation. And I'll kind of come back to those themes as we progress.
I actually, just as a quick aside, I really enjoy the topic of risk and hazard and, you know, strategies to do that, because it is so pervasive in so many aspects of life in so many different professions. Like, and I do think a lot of the actual terminology around those things are the same, right? Mm-hmm. Right. Hazards are hazards and risks are risks. And there's, you know, there's all kinds of ways to kind of look at that, but we do have a shared language of that. So I really appreciate that part of this conversation, is that that language is actually the same with hazards and risks. So.
Right. Yeah, for sure. It's just a matter of like being able to identify it, like knowing what is hazardous or risky.
Right.
Especially in finance. Now, I've talked to hundreds and hundreds of different people and families, and what one perceives as risky, someone else might perceive as safe.
Right.
Right. Now I'm going to go very basic here. I think I listened to you put an episode out, you know, wear your helmet, right? I can't think of anything as basic or simple as put the helmet on, please. The reasons don't have to be said out loud, but they do, right? Until you're out, like my wife and I brought our kids to a local crag here in Connecticut for the first time. And someone at the top of the cliff must have been throwing rocks out off the top of the cliff, because I just saw a rock fly by and no one was above us. You know, it's a 100-foot single pitch cliff. So there you go. That's all the reason you ever need to put your helmet on every single time you go to a cliff. So I'm going to start basic.
Awesome.
Financial planning is it boils down to income, money coming in the door, expenses, money going out the door. And then what do you do with the rest, right? What's left over? In many cases, we don't really think about those three things, right? We don't have a plan that if there is money left over, what am I going to do with it? I say, generally speaking, in the absence of some sort of intentional plan, you find something to spend it on, generally speaking. So those kind of three areas are where I'll kind of focus first. And I'll actually start with expenses, because when you think about like variables that you can control as a guide in these three columns, income, expenses, and then what you do with the rest, there are certain variables you have control over and varying degrees of control, right? Some things you can affect more than others, right? So like, okay, simply put, whether it's a white line sheet of paper, an Excel spreadsheet, a Word document, write out what all your expenses are. Rent, mortgage, utilities, transportation, car loans. Do you pay out of pocket for your health insurance or property and casualty insurance, like your renter's homeowner's insurance, auto insurance, things that you might, you know, discretionary expenses like your Netflix account or if a Zoom account or things like that, all these discretion things, you know, are going to happen. It's relatively easy to just get an estimate, figure out, okay, what is my monthly expenditure? Things that ebb and flow a little bit, it might be easier to just, you know, take an average. And the certain ways that you spend money can help you do this. So for instance, is in my personal situation, we basically just use two credit cards that everything gets put on. We have like our main household credit card that like we use everywhere. And then we have an Amazon card, right? So like Amazon expenses go on that. So if I just took those two cards, added 6 months or a year of expenses on those things and just divided it and got a monthly average, that kind of gives me a pretty accurate scope of what am I spending each month, right? So you can at least start there and know what that number is, right? It's very common for me in a formal financial planning setting to ask, and people simply don't know, right? So, but it doesn't take that much work to just kind of write it all out. I'm not saying like there's the idea of budgeting, which is kind of like going on a super strict diet where it's like, I'm only going to spend $30 a month on Dunkin' Donuts coffee and I'm going to stick to that. That's not really what I'm saying. It's more along the lines of looking at all the things your money, where your money's going, and just knowing what it is, right? And then within those things, starting at the top, the most, which is usually like rent or mortgage, how much control do I have over that number, right? So let's just take rent, for example, right? Obviously, if you have a significant other or you're married, then that number theoretically could be cut in half if it's a dual income household. If you're a single person and starting out guiding, could you have a roommate and cut that number in half? Like just simple thoughts like that. Like, okay, this is the biggest expense I have. What are the ways I could change that, right? Could I look for other places to live? Or I know a lot of people have camper vans now, right? So it's like, it's just a matter of not necessarily saying that you should do everything in your power to lower that number. It's just like, be aware of the ways you could affect that, right? Because, and I'll maybe get to this a little bit later on, but when it comes to like, okay, my financial situation isn't working, you'll want to have already identified what the low-hanging fruit is to either lower your expenses or increase your income, right? So going through this exercise periodically, maybe once a year, can be useful. I know we have a kind of bad financial habit of going to Starbucks a lot. So it's like, if I wanted to trim down my expenses, that would be a very easy lever to pull, where it's like, all right, we're just not going to do that anymore. And that expense goes away. So being self-aware of those things can make an impact. So expenses is important. Expenses, knowing what that is also helps you identify what like a proper emergency fund should be for you, right? So a simple example, and I'm kind of guessing here, but I would say what like most common injury a climber or climbing guide would sustain would be like a sprained ankle. Would that be fair to say, or
it's certainly something like that up there? Yeah.
I sprained my ankle really bad climbing in a gym and was in a boot for 2.5-3 months. So if I'm a guide and I have the, you know, some realistic probability that a common injury like that could take me out of the game for a few months, and just hypothetical example, if I know my expenses are $3,000 a month and a badly sprained ankle could take me out of work for 3 months, then I probably should have 3 months times 3,000, about $10,000 in an emergency fund. That's money that's just sitting there. Maybe it's invested, maybe it isn't. You know, that's farther down the line, or farther down the funnel. That is less important than that money being there for when you need it. And I think a parallel way of thinking about an emergency fund is like your stopper knots, or like closing the system. It's not important until it is important. And when it's needed, it's catastrophic if you didn't do it, right? So that was my parallel there, where it's nice. Like, it doesn't take a whole lot of effort to implement, but if something happens in your life that's out of your control and you need it, you really need it, right? I've had a lot of situations where, I could pull on many different examples in my work where just life throws you a curveball that you weren't expecting, and it results in a lot of money being spent on something that you never thought you'd spend money on. Emergency funds, very important. And I can talk a little bit too about, okay, you're new to guiding or new to anything, and you're just starting off. You can't just like snap your fingers and have the emergency fund in place. You have to build it. You know, you have to build up to having it, but the habit that creates it, you can start that day one, right? So something that we had talked about was like putting money somewhere and having it be automatic. And I'll get to this when I talk about the income piece. So that's kind of like my mindset around expenses, and similar to the other three categories, but it's just like, know what they are and know how you could change or affect those various numbers. And in order of importance would be highest to least, or most control to least control, right? Like a, for instance, is if you need automobile insurance and you've looked at all of the companies in your area and you've gotten quotes from everybody and you're a safe driver and all of those things, and you choose the lowest cost insurance option you have with quality coverage, at that point, you don't have much control left over what you're spending there, right? You have it because you need it. So there's not much control left. So it's like you could almost rank your expenses in order of how high they are and how much control you could have over them.
I've always looked at that in terms of my own finances. Like the biggest lever I've had is to lower my expenses, because it's really hard to work more for various reasons. Either it's the time of year, you know, here it's like we're off season. I just can't physically do any more days. I'm just exhausted. There's just no clients for whatever reason. Like those levers are much harder for me to pull, at least in my situation that I've had. I'm always like, reduce my overhead as much as I can, so whatever is coming in, the gap between what's left over hopefully is a little better, right? To do something with.
And it's helpful, I think, too, to frame your expenses into like, how many days of work is this? Right. If it's something that you don't necessarily need, and you think of it as, okay, I have to work 2-3 days, like a day a month to afford this thing, whatever it is. So, you know, it's like, okay, what's my average client bring into my business? Like, I have to bring in another client just to afford this thing. So knowing that and putting it into a different frame of reference might be helpful. And you can just tackle those things one at a time. It's not something that you just have to do all at once, but you could look at it and look at your expenses, look at the amounts and be like, okay, I might be able to work on lowering this amount or this thing and work on that. And then look at it again in 4 or 5 months, right? It's just kind of like a slow process.
You know, I actually look at, like, back to your comment about like, well, this might just add, if I add another day into my schedule, I actually look at it not just as, oh, I'll add another day of work, but like I'd have this conversation with some of my body workers, you know, like massage therapists, whatever. And I'm like, I'm like, I look at it and I have to take on X amount of time, which means X amount of personal risk physically because of my job is dangerous to pay you this. And that's my life and it's fine. But I actually look at it really like, how much more risk physically am I willing to take to have the, you know, the income to go pay for this thing. I actually look at it that way oftentimes.
And I'm sure a lot of it too comes down to that, right? The statistics of the fact that the probability of something happening, something bad happening when you're out climbing it's always greater than zero, right? It's always a non-zero number. Nice. And the more days you're out there, those numbers adding together or multiplying together, it's a decision you should be making intentionally.
FYI, back on the free Zoom thing, we've got 8 minutes and 51 seconds before we get kicked off and start another session. So
maybe we can, we'll wrap up. I'll go through the income kind of, and then we'll reconvene.
Awesome. That sounds great.
So, the other side of the expense, are you have income, expenses, and then what do you do with what's left over? As a guide, or, you know, thinking of, you know, you're, even if you're a W-2 employee working for a climbing school, you know, you can kind of think of you as your own little business where You do have a degree of control there, right? Number of days you're working. What are your credentials? What types of guiding can you do? What seasons do you have in your geographical area? And you can, you know, how many days are you willing to work versus like the maximum days that are like available for you to work? What are the weather conditions like? What's like an average rate of client fall off, like, did, you know, cancellations and things like that? And what you can really do is you can say like, okay, based on my credentials, my location, you know, my own business or the school I work for, you know, these are the maximum number of available possible days I could be working. And then maybe you bump that down to how many days am I willing to work based on some of the factors, you know, you just mentioned. There's just like the mental side of it, the physical exhaustion side of it. There's only so many days that you're going to want to be out guiding. And then you maybe bump that number down based on some assumption, and you could ask people like, what's an average rate of cancellation? What's an average rate of the weather causing us to not be able to go out? And then maybe even bump that number down even more for just like a buffer, right? To come with like a total number of days that you assume as a guide, very realistic. Like it, worst case scenario, I should be able to guide this many days in a given year. And if I'm wrong, my assumptions are probably going to be wrong in the right direction, meaning because I've factored in all of these conservative like buffers based on cancellations, weather, and even just miscellaneous buffer. If I'm wrong, it means I'm probably going to work more days than this assumed number, right? So you have this number of days, and then you have, okay, well, how much can I expect to bring in on an average day of climbing or guiding? And again, right, if you're experienced, you probably can know this pretty well just by doing some math and going back and looking at history. But if you're new, it's like asking advice, asking around, looking at what's the average rates in your geographical area, in the forms of guiding you're doing. You know, we had talked about like the differences between ski guiding, rock guiding, alpine guiding, all of those different things. I'm sure there's even like in your area, I'm sure there's like whitewater and stuff like that, and backpacking, hiking, like all of these different disciplines. You could even break this exercise down by discipline, because each discipline might have its own, has its own season, number of days you could guide, average rate, and things like that. And the idea here is to come up with this plan to say, I think based on these basic variables, number of days, average per day, worst case scenario, I'm bringing in this amount per year, right? This amount is what I think is totally reasonable and I think makes, makes all of these assumptions conservative. And if I'm wrong, I'm probably going to be wrong in the positive direction, meaning I'm going to be bringing in more than this assumption. And then you look at what you just did on the expense side and you say, is income greater than expenses, right? And that's kind of like the first moment where you look at these two exercises and you're like, well, if income is well in excess of expenses, then okay, we can move on to the next step. What do you do with what's left over? But if income is smaller than expenses, then you have to kind of rehash this out and be like, okay, can this work? Because you don't just want to, like in guiding, you don't want to look at a plan and then say, we'll work it out once we get there, right? We're just going to press forward, even knowing that this might be unlikely to work out well, right? Because you don't want to get a year in or a couple years in and kind of be forced to make decisions based on the financial reality of the situation when going in, you could have known that this may not work or this may not work out well. So just like with expenses, you look at all of these different variables that can impact your income, just being aware of them, being aware of which ones are more under your control, like your credentials or the location you're in, what types of guiding do you do, those different things. And you know, you probably are very credentialed, and you know that there's a certain level of credentials where it might have more of an impact on what you can earn, but then at a certain point, it doesn't really impact what you can earn. There might be kind of like a cap or a glass ceiling based on your geographic location, where you're working, or the seasons you're working in, things like that. This is all just about kind of like knowing your own scenario, being aware of these variables, being aware of like, okay, based on my assumptions, income is this. Based on my assumptions, expenses is this. I have money left over. So I, at least I know that I can reasonably be, you know, certain that this can work out well. Right. And then we can talk about like, okay, what do you then do if those two numbers are very, very close together? What levers can you pull? Like we talked about, lowering expenses or increasing your income, which can be easier? Depending on a situation, if you're brand new to the industry, maybe increasing your income is the easier way to go by either becoming more credentialed or working more, or I don't know, getting into a more affluent area. Like, who knows? Like, that's the area of the business that I don't really know that side of things, but
nice. Thinking critically. It's really interesting how there's like so much of this is, it's about the individual taking ownership of this work, like doing the work. Like, you got to put the work in to figure this out. Cause I'm kind of like, oh, I'll go talk to a financial advisor. I'm like, all right, just make it happen. Like, and they're like, no, you got to do the work. You got to go figure this stuff out. And from there we can move forward and I can potentially help you with some possibilities going forward. But yeah, I was like, all right, I got to go do that work.
Yeah, I think financial advisors to the core, like we mostly are advising on the what to do with the rest piece of it, right? That's where we really come into play most of the time. I see we have less than 1 minute left, so.
Well, it sounds like a good place to stop and then start again.
Place to break.
Sounds great. All right, we're going to stop this one. Free Zoom. We're going to start again. Love it. Here we go.